In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And that means he's the guy who leads the flock from safe places where they can find food to eat, to clear, healthy waters where they can drink and not be pulled away by a raging torrent or a fast river. So he constantly oversees his flock. He protects his flock from the wolves. He's the one who keeps the flock together. He's the one who keeps it safe under his watchful eye. He's the one who seeks out those little ones, those sick ones, those feeble ones who, for foolishness or illness or idleness, have wandered away from his loving care. He's the good shepherd. That's a shepherd's job. But he's not just a shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And of course, as I said earlier, shepherds take care of flocks. But why do they do it? They take care of flocks so that they can fleece their sheep, so that they can eat their sheep. And so a shepherd who is good at his job increases his flock for his own personal gain. But not so the good shepherd. What is it that makes him different? What is it that makes him not just a shepherd who's good at his job, but the good shepherd? The thing that makes him different is that he lays down his life for the sheep. And of course, that's not normal when it comes to sheep. Normally, the flock exists for the shepherd. The flock serves the shepherd. The flock gives clothing and food and a livelihood to the shepherd and to his family, not the other way around. But this good shepherd exists to give life and not death to the flock. He exists to prosper the flock, to keep all who are in the flock alive. This good shepherd has life in himself. He doesn't need the flock to sustain his life. And so he pours out his life for his flock and not the other way around. And not just for his own flock, for those who are his own and who know him and who are called by name by him, but he does this for all sheep everywhere and every when. And that's why he is the good shepherd. Now, you could sort of say that of the shepherd, if he were a superhero, you could say that his superpower was life. It's the gift that he has to give. He controls life, and that means that he can lay down his own life if he wishes to, and he also can take up his own life whenever he wishes to again. And so he chose to pour out his life, and he did so taking the sins of all of his sheep, and not only his sheep, but those who count themselves even as his enemies, even those who say that he doesn't exist. He took their sins, the sins of all. He took their death, the death of all. He took their love of wolves and the flattering lies of wolves. He took it all on himself. And he took it all into that black abyss of death. And he put death to death by dying. And then, because he has the power of life, he took up his life again, for he controls life and death. And so there are some who, though there are some who don't know him, he's not satisfied with that. He's not satisfied with the fact that there are many people that he died for who don't know him. And he says, I have other sheep, those who do not yet know me, those who do not yet listen to my voice. And how will he make them his sheep? Well, he already died for them. He already paid the price for their sins. So now all he has to do is introduce his voice to them. His voice is the thing that does the work and makes sheep his own. Because when you hear his voice enchants you. His voice makes you want to believe in him. His voice makes you want to follow him. And even when you don't think that he exists, or that you don't think that he is who he claims he is, even when you think that the wolf's lies sound better, his voice cuts through all that clutter. It cuts through all the noise and the babble of life here below. His voice creates that faith in you. His voice brings His life and death and new life to bear in you. And so those other sheep will hear His voice through those whom He sends to them. They will recognize His voice. And despite themselves, they'll find themselves believing in Him. And they will become part of His flock. It will become their home. And they'll wonder, once they are part of His flock and they count this place, His flock, His church, as their home, they'll wonder how they ever lived apart from His house. For having come home, they'll not want to depart from His house. And many of you have probably found that, especially if there was a time in your life where maybe you wandered from your faith or wandered from attending the church, or if there was a time in your life when you weren't a Christian, when you came home to the church, you began to find, how did I ever live apart from my Lord, apart from my shepherd? He is my home. He is my protection. He is my refuge. And so having come home, they'll not want to depart, for they are truly home. One flock with one shepherd, one family with one father, one home. That's what we all long for, and that's what we find here with our shepherd. And though this sheepfold here, this congregation, even though it's a home away from home, you're not quite home yet, are you? Because there's a lot of suffering here on earth, isn't there? And home, heaven, will be a place where there's no suffering. And so Jesus is coming back to take us home. He's coming to gather us into that one flock. He's coming to be our shepherd without any more under-shepherds standing in His stead and by His command. And of course, we have our Lord with us right now, and that means that there are a lot of things in life that are pretty good. He comes to us through His under-shepherds. We hear His voice, and He leads us from the green pastures of His Word to the quiet waters of holy baptism, to His table that He sets in the midst of our enemies, where His cup runs over with forgiveness for us. And so He gives us a home away from home here. But right now, we're still surrounded by our enemies, aren't we? We're still surrounded by sin and death and the devil. And so we need a good shepherd to watch over us. But that day, when He comes again, there will be no more enemies. He will do away with all of them. That day, we will know His resurrection fully as our own bodies are raised to new and eternal life. It's pretty good now, but it'll be far better on that day when He comes again. And so on this side of heaven, there is much suffering. There is sin in us. There's sin in the world. There's sin in our bodies and in our bones. And it causes us to long for Him, to long for home, for the forgiveness and reconciliation that He brings into our lives, for the release from shame, for the healing, for the cancer and the heart sickness, the old age and the genetic maladies that afflict every single one of us in this fallen, broken, sin-flooded world. Now you recall, our God once flooded the world before, right? To cleanse the world of the sin that had accumulated here. He once flooded it before. And having died for death, our good shepherd has also risen for life. Having forgiven you for eternity, He floods this world again. Right now, He floods it with waters from fonts, like that one at the back there. It doesn't seem like such a great big deal, like such an all-surpassing flood, does it? It doesn't seem like it covers the world, because it doesn't. It's just a little bit of water in a fancy bowl at the back of a church, or the front of a church, or somewhere in a church. It's not that impressive, but just like that flood of old killed, this flood kills us as well. But that flood of old, even though it killed, this flood of water also makes alive when it kills. Just as that flood of old swept away that old sin-filled world, leaving behind a new creation for Noah and his family, the waters of holy baptism sweep away our sin-filled souls, leaving new life in the Spirit for Christ's church, for Christ's family. And so the cross that Jesus died on, the cross is your ark. It's your boat that got you across the flood. The cross is your ark. It's your boat that'll get you through that final flood too, through death itself. For the cross is our safe passage through the flood of death. And there's no iceberg that can sink this boat, this juggernaut. It will keep going until it gets to those shores, those heavenly shores. Devil can't stop Jesus, can't stop this boat. Jesus, our good shepherd, died for you and me to get us to the shores of paradise. And that means that he's with you now. He's living in you, especially when you eat him with your mouth, especially when you hear him with your ears. And so he is our shepherd. He's our overseer. He's our example to follow. He feared not death. He feared not suffering. He took it all for us. For that is the way of God. That is the way of love. That's the way of service. And so you and I, who follow our shepherd, we fear not death. We fear not suffering. We take it in love for others. For don't you and I suffer much every single day for those that we love? Don't you and I taste death regularly as we pour ourselves out bit by bit in the callings that God gives us in our lives? Just as Jesus himself poured himself out entirely in the calling that the Father gave him to be our Savior. And so, in the callings God gives us, whether they are father or mother, whether they are husband or wife or child or laborer of one sort or another, in those callings God gives us, we imitate him. In those callings, we die just like he did. We die with him. In those callings, we suffer and we serve with him. And wonder of wonders, when he gives you a calling in your life to serve and to suffer, he equips you for that calling. And so, think about the callings of parents. When your kids revile you, even though it makes you angry, how many times has the Lord equipped you so that you don't revile them back? Now, I'm sure you've probably failed because all of us are sinners, right? But how many times has the Lord equipped you so that when your kids are nasty to you, you weren't nasty back? Instead, you died to yourself. You turned the other cheek. You did what was necessary for their sake because you loved them. Or those of us who are children, who still have parents who are living, or even if your parents are dead, when your parents exasperate you, when they drive you crazy, when they cause you to suffer, whether you are a young child or whether you are an older child, how many times have you threatened them, or not threatened them, but instead quietly served them in love? And whether you knew it or not, it was love coming through the Holy Spirit that enabled you to imitate your Lord. And so in the callings that our shepherd and our overseer of our souls gives us, he calls us to suffer just as he did. For you and I, we were dead in sin, but now we are alive in him. We are alive in his righteousness, and his love flows into the world through these callings that he gives. This is where we suffer with him. This is where we live in him. This is where we must entrust ourselves to his Father, who judges all things rightly. For we are with Jesus. We are in him. We are his sheep. He is our shepherd who protects and saves and sees us across death's raging flood to the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.